eerie sight for my monster from his slab.
Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
The girls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash.
This opening number, Monster Mash, is brought to us by Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Tickers. We'll be hearing more about and from Halloween music later on in today's program, and it'll close it out as well. But first, these trivia questions.
Included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds.
Our trivia questions come to us today from artspoint.net. Question number one. Elvis Presley's 1957 hit Love Me Tender is actually based upon a classical piece of music written during the Civil War. What was the title of that classical song? Was it A, Tchaikovsky's The 1812 Overture, B, George Poulton's Aura Lee, C, Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee, or D, Chopin's Polonaise? Question number two. Who was awarded the very first gold record ever? Was it A, the Marine Corps Band, B, Nat King Cole, C, Perry Como, or D, Elvis Presley? Hint, here's a snippet from this singer's songbook.
Come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. And just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight.
So, who is the singer who won the very first gold record? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the conclusion of today's program. The transition section for today's program is brought to us by BGORecords.com and MusicOrb.com, today in music history. And today is the weekend of October 28 and 29. If you were born on October 28th, you share a birthday with Charlie Daniels. He's the Wilmington, North Carolina singer. Devil Went Down to Georgia. He was born on October 28, 1936. And Randy Newman, Short People. He was born on October 28th. 1943. Or, if you were born on October 29, you share a B-Day with Peter Green of Fleetwood Mac. He was born on October 29, 1946. Randy Jackson, Jackson 5, also born on October 29th, 1961. Deaths in music history on these days include Earl Bostick. He's the alto sax player in Lionel Hampton's band. He died on these days back in 1965. Dwayne Allman died on these days back in 1971 of a motorcycle accident. And Woody Herman, the jazz clarinetist, band leader, died on these days back in 1987. Miscellany in music history this weekend. Well, back in 1955, Roger Williams's Autumn Leaves hits number one. And back in 1961, on these days, Brian Epstein, working in his record shop in Liverpool, is asked by a customer for the record called My Bonnie by the Beatles. Epstein discovers that the disc is only available in Germany, and he therefore sets out to see the group, and the rest is history. 1966, Beale Street, Memphis, is made a national landmark as Home of the Blues. And back in 67, Hair opens off Broadway in New York's East Village. 1972, on these days in history, Billy Paul's Me and Mrs. Jones enters the U.S. soul charts. Back in 1983, on these days, Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream, hits number one. Back in 1983, on these days, the Police set house receipts and attendance records, 48,920 to be exact, in Orange Bowl performance in Miami. And in 1988, on these days, Dire Straits' Money for Nothing hits number one in the U.S. while Anya's A Wrinkle Flow hits number one in the UK. In local rock news, we see this article by David Menconi, published in the News and Observer, September 21, 2011, entitled, This Album is Meaty and Smokin'. A few years back, Marshall Wyatt was perusing the used compact disc at Reader's Corner in Raleigh, something he does often as a record collector and record label magnate. Wyatt came across a compilation with a song by Teddy Big Boy Edwards, a Depression-era blues singer, called Who Did You Give My Barbecue To? Part 1. It was a captivating little banjo blues number from 1934 that inspired Wyatt's newest album, Songs About Barbecue. The just-released Barbecue Any Old Time Blues from the Pit, 1927 to 1942, offers two dozen succulent songs about the beloved Southern fare. I've always loved barbecue, of course, especially the Bear Carolina variety, and that song got me started looking for more songs about barbecue, Wyatt says. I found pretty much all of them. There actually aren't that many specifically about barbecue, but there are a ton of songs about meat. Smoked meat blues. I heard the voice of a pork chop. Fat meat is good meat. It's all compatible and fits together under the banner of barbecue. Barbecue Any Old Time is the eighth release on Wyatt's Old Hat Records, a label that specializes in music from the old-time era. The new album shows the craft and fanatical attention to detail that Wyatt brings to all of his projects, with extensive liner notes, credits, and period photos, vivid enough to make the mouth water. When he was deciding on a track list, Wyatt considered broadening it to include country songs about barbecue. He didn't, for two reasons. First, most of the old hillbilly tunes about barbecue were more comedy skits set to music than songs, and second, they tended to be about cooking pigs over hickory logs and not much else. Not just about food. The black blues songs about barbecue tend to be more interesting because they're more metaphorical, Wyatt says. They're about sex, food, and other great pleasures of life. Most of these songs have a celebratory tone. A few don't. Smoked meat blues is a lament, but they're mostly upbeat and revel in the choice of life. I also wanted to get variety. Countrified blues, some more urban songs, jazz, some vaudeville. To me, it's all kind of hangs together. Raleigh native Wyatt is a collector and historian, and he can quote chapter and verse about every song and performer on the album. Of note is Frankie Halfpint Jackson, who appears twice. On the opening song, Down at Jasper's Barbecue, from 1928, Jackson portrays a barbecue joint as a veritable Sodom of earthly pleasures in the agitated voice of a carnival barker. Later on Gimme a Pig's Foot and a Bottle of Beer, he sounds tired and worn out. Chicken songs next. Given the headline of the record industry, it's not surprising that Wyatt is looking into alternative sales venues. He's hoping to sell most of his copies at barbecue restaurants and festivals. And it sets the stage for Wyatt's next Old Hat compilation, Songs About Chicken, which he hopes to release in 2012. There are so many chicken songs, he says. It seems like a novelty, but they're musically amazing. Barbecue is like a religion throughout the South, so I'm hoping the barbecue community will buy this CD. This next article, brought to us by Marty McGuire, News and Observer, September 25, 2011, entitled, Musician Helps Immigrant Students Learn English. Raleigh. Mary McLaurin and her 12-string guitar have been training immigrant students' ears to the peculiar rhythms of the English language for more than a decade. Lately, the musical pair has also helped coax students' hopes and fears into original songs that resonate with the heartbreak and uncertainty of leaving home for a new land. McLaurin, 56, started visiting English as a second language student at Wake Tech Community College in 2000 and was soon rotating among half a dozen classes with her guitar. Early last year, she helped create an entire class devoted to music-based learning, which she co-teaches with a paid teacher. This year, she won a community college system-wide volunteer award for her efforts in ESL classes. It's an odd niche for a deeply religious mountain girl who once hoped to reach out to the world through overseas missions work. Instead, she said, the Lord kept sending her home. I realize the world is here in Raleigh, she says. The question was, how are you going to reach out to that world? In the music class, students improve their English through singing and crafting their own songs, McLaurin says. Music helps students understand language and themselves in a unique way. Music reaches them in a deeper place in their brains and in their hearts. The article skips down. McLaurin grew up in an Ashe County musical family that often would gather around the piano to sing hymns and popular music. She didn't take to the piano or guitar right away, but resolved to when she was in sixth grade. A family friend organized train trips through the mountains to see fall foliage, and a troupe of young musicians would travel along and put on a show. McLaurin wanted to be on that train, and she was promised a spot if she could learn an instrument. She scanned the Sears catalog and settled on a 4-string baritone ukulele she figured her small fingers could handle. I learned a few chords and went back, and they put me on the train, she said. It was wonderful. She eventually moved on to play the guitar, never going long without an audience. She played 4-H talent shows and camps during her youth and later played at contemporary church services that had started to favor guitars over organs. She now lives in Cary. In her years of volunteering, McLaurin expanded her contact with the ESL students, arranging monthly luncheons, taking them on trips to the mountains where they stay with local families. She also began to envision a larger role for music in ESL classes and approached Ballard about the possibility of having students write songs. The music class was born. Ballard says the power of song is well known among educators. English is what educators call a stress time language. The emphasis a speaker puts on certain syllables matters. Music exaggerates those stresses, making them easier to hear and understand. Music is so helpful in learning English because our language is like a song, she says. It's a much more subtle way to get at the grammar and the syntax. Article skips down and ends with this. It's a painstaking process, one that brings students great pride in their accomplishment. McLaurin says it also allows students to explore sometimes painful experiences. How are you going to really communicate what it's like to be away from your country, your home, your family? Who's going to ask you, she says. That's what this does. It improves English and increases confidence, but it also gives them a voice. So, what do you know about today's featured genre of music? Halloween music, and that's coming up this Monday. Well, according to this information from AOLRadioBlog.com, published on the 9th of October 2010 by Matthew Wilkening, Halloween music, like any good spirit from the netherworld, can appear in many shapes and styles. It might turn up in lyrics designed to terrorize and traumatize, or make itself known through creepy instrumental means such as the theremins, or church organs, or spooky sound effects. Most of all, it may celebrate or demonize the things that go bump in the night, breaking you out of your so-called safe, even-keeled life. Here's the top 100 in Halloween music, as rated by listeners on AOL's Radio's Halloween Station. I'm not going to read all 100, of course, but skip around. Number 55, Dark Shadows Theme by Julianne Baird. This initially straight-ahead soap opera broke new ground in the late 60s by featuring ghosts, vampires, and, of course, creepy music. This tune, by the way, will close out today's program. Coming in at number 22, The Purple People Eater by Sheb Woolley. Yeah, okay, he's huge and has one eye, but deep down, all he wants to do is rock.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn, one big eye. Woo! I missed a shaking and I said, "Ooh-wee." It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, blind purple people eater.
And coming in at number 13, Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. The theme for this 1984 ghost comedy isn't that scary, unless it gets stuck on repeat in your head.
Strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
If there's something weird.
And then coming in at number 11, Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers, a joking impression of Boris Karloff, recorded in a single take, becomes a novelty masterpiece. This song opened today's program, by the way. And, of course, there's Thriller. This comes in at number 3 by Michael Jackson. The king of pop is always going to be with us, especially when this classic rears its head every Halloween. And coming in at number 1... John Carpenter's Halloween 1978. It doesn't matter how mellow or safe you feel, one hit of this piano line will make your pulse race. And speaking of ghosts, we see this review, published in The Week magazine, September 16, 2011, of an album called Ghost on the Canvas. This is Glen Campbell's latest album. Glen Campbell's self-avowed final album may not be his best, most consistent, or most durable record, said Stephen Doisner in Pitchfork.com, but given that the 75-year-old pop and country star decided to record it after learning he has Alzheimer's, is a surprisingly upbeat farewell, one that never stoops to self-pity and very modestly reminds you of past triumphs. More than one song here not so subtly borrows the sweeping orchestral pop of Campbell's 1968 hit Wichita Lineman, said Christopher Murther in Boston Globe. The title track, written by Paul Westerberg, is among them, and Ghost would have been stronger without such nods to the past, but the album is more than a rehash. Campbell's honeyed voice remains intact, and solid contributions from guest musicians Chris Isaak, Billy Corgan, and Dick Dale help make this a gorgeous and charming collection, a strong testament to Campbell's emotional and musical growth.
Go on, go on, till you reach the end of the line. But I know you're gonna pass this way again. It's just a matter of time.
Glenn Campbell. This next music review was published in the News and Observer on the 25th of September, 2011. It's Blind Pilots, We Are the Tide, their latest CD. Israel Nebecker and Blind Pilot had the unenviable task of following up a lauded debut LP that was both a critic's darling and an indie fan favorite. Three Rounds and a Sound captured our imaginations and introduced us to an important new songwriter, Nebecker, whose fresh approach to literate charm chamber pop music was both emotional and impressionistic. With release of We Are the Tide, fans will know Nebecker even better, even though it's not the release many expected. The methodical and mellow new record is every bit as luscious as Three Rounds, but is a more thoughtful, melancholic treatise that looks in the rearview mirror while sounding more assured than ever. Get It Out is a charmer, with its hushed memories and even quieter drum work. Keep You Right shows Nebecker's continued love of instrumental layering and vocal harmonies. Fans of the Shins and Cloud Cult could easily fall for this band and its uncanny ease with melody, but the centerpiece is the title track, We Are the Tide. Of course, fans of Blind Pilot's stunning live shows are familiar with We Are the Tide, a song the band has been playing live for more than a year. And while the island percussion is more intense in concert, this recorded version is a sunny jaunt that reveals a new side of Blind Pilot, one that could easily provide the band with a crossover to more popular channels. This was written by Richard Baca of the Denver Post.
Our time is ever on the road to rising. What we make, I walk to hear how this give and take. But hear it this way, hear it this way. All right.
Blind Pilots. This next article comes to us from Corey Dietz, About.com Guide. Spooky October Radio. Listen to Halloween Radio Online. Radio that goes bump in the night. Scary and funny songs. If you're looking for some spooky streams to listen to for a Halloween party as you carve your pumpkin this year or for any other seasonal reason, then check these out and bookmark the ones you'll need or want to come back to. And if you're looking for a way to play them from your computer to your front door or any other part of your home, see the hardware suggestions further down. For example, there's HalloweenRadio.net. That's one word. HalloweenRadio.net actually has three channels to choose from: Halloween Radio, Halloween Atmosphere, and Halloween Oldies. Then there's the 13th Track. 13th Track Halloween Radio offers a clever flash animated music player with good stream of Halloween music. Then there's Boogeyman Radio, horror sounds on the net, song, scores, rock, psychobilly, metal, and more. Then there's Horror Old Time Radio, an old time radio Halloween show. Then there's the never ending wonder, Halloween Radio Empire. Several stations feature several genres of Halloween related music and songs. Then there's Halloween stations listed at shoutcast.com. Dark music for tortured souls from a variety of sources. And then there's Channel 66.6 HM, Haunted Radio, your radio home for everything horror. And finally, there's Sirius XM Halloween Radio. Information and online Halloween sound effects of Sirius XM Radio's Halloween offerings. This site is worth visiting just for the fresh animation. And if you're listening to this and want to buy a CD full of great Halloween hits, we see this review by Andrew Bartlett, Amazon.com. It's for the 1991 CD, Halloween Hits. Leave it to Rhino Records to come up with the best party music for Halloween rave-ups. In contrast to New Wave Halloween, this set of 10 tunes is aimed squarely at the family listening environment. Monster Mash, sung by Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Kickers, is a hoot decades after its origin. That opened today's program, of course. And Screaming Jay Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You, is aptly eerie, if not a tad funny in this setting, considering that Attack of the Killer Tomatoes comes afterwards and the Addams Family theme comes before. And lest you think this set of tunes is mired in the depths of Halloween tunes from generations ago, it also has Ghostbusters, which reeks of datedness anywhere but here. And finally, we have this review of Beirut's CD, The Riptide. It's given 3 stars. The third album from indie rockers Beirut is neither a leap forward nor a troubling stagnation, said Patrick Foster in the Washington Post. If anything, it more fully embraces the potential for melancholy pop that was evident in the Eastern European and gypsy folk strains that dominated the group's previous recordings. Horns and accordions are still present here, creating that distinctly Beirut feeling of wandering idly through a bustling plaza in a European metropolis. But the strong structures are more hooky, full, and easy to enjoy. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, question one, Elvis Presley's 57 hit Love Me Tender is actually based upon a classical piece of music written during the Civil War. What was its title? It was, in fact, answer B, George Poulton's R. Lee. And question number two, who was awarded the very first gold record ever? That was, of course, answer C, Perry Como. It was not Nat King Cole or Elvis Presley, and it was not the Marine Corps Band. And the answers to the first one were not Tchaikovsky's 1812 or Rimsky-Korsakov's Fly to the Bumblebee or Chopin's Polonaise. It was, as stated, George Poulton's Aura Lee. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. If you have a suggestion for an artist, group, or genre of music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me. Randy Thompson at 832-5138. So long until next time.